Good afternoon, this is Ketchell Kirkham with Looking Up, a few minutes at the end of the week to think about astronomy. Now, before getting on to an interview with the Director General of the Square Kilometre Array Radio Astronomy Project, I'd like to announce that there will be a star walk at Kirstenbosch Gardens for those who would like to join us, and that's at 7 o'clock on the 2nd of December. Please get there just before 7. If you're not sure whether it's going to be clouded out, please ring the star line on 088 131 1001. It's a lovely thing to do. We have a walk up Kirstenbosch Gardens, followed by looking through some telescopes. I hope you can join us. Good afternoon, this is Ketchell Kirkham with Looking Up, a few minutes at the end of the week to think about astronomical things. Now, I'm very lucky because I am here at Jodrell Bank at the Square Kilometre Array headquarters, and I'm here with Professor Phil Diamond, who is the Director General of the entire project. Good afternoon, Phil.
Good afternoon, Ketchell.
Now, Phil, you're in charge of the whole lot. This is this massive international consortium, the biggest telescope ever known to mankind. But you have a science background as a research professor. What I'm interested to ask you is, what particularly interests you in terms of the eventual science output of this massive telescope?
So, yes, you're quite right. I'm fundamentally a radio astronomer. I got into astronomy to do research. Over my career, I've studied things like stellar evolution, the birth of stars, the stars in their old age, used what we call very long baseline interferometry telescopes connected across continents to study exploding stars in other galaxies, things like that. But these are not primary science goals of the SKA. The SKA would be able to do them, but they're not going to be primary. One area that I have spent a lot of time is the study of magnetic phenomena in the universe. Magnetic fields permeate the entire universe. We know they exist between galaxies. These are the remnants of the primordial magnetic field of the universe. Much stronger within galaxies themselves, where the gas is denser, into regions where stars form, where the gas is extremely dense. And I have studied such magnetic fields in the past. The SKA will be the instrument without comparison. It'll be second to none in terms of its ability to study magnetic phenomena on all scales.
This is intergalactic, sort of universal scales from the beginnings of time, as well as between stars.
Yes, and as well as round the gas clouds that are forming individual stars right now as we speak. So from the smallest cosmic scales to the largest, there are magnetic fields visible across the universe. And the SKA will give us, for the first time, a tool to study these, to try and understand where these magnetic fields come, what role they play in guiding the evolution of the universe as a whole, as well as the critical role they play on these smaller scales in the formation of stars. My research focus when I get back to research would be on that latter area. I have colleagues who are much more interested in the much larger scales. But we're going to have a tool which will enable us to probe much more deeply, with greater sensitivity, fantastic resolution, and the ability really to answer many of the questions that we've sort of seen phenomena. We don't understand exactly what causes them or what they are, but we'll have the tool with the SKA to be able to answer the questions that have been bugging me and others for many years. So that's what I want to focus on in my own research.
So now, Professor Phil Diamond, you're the leader of this massive project. You're somebody who's not at the end of their career, but you're not at the beginning.
Thank you. Yes.
And it'll be some years before the Square Kilometre Array will be giving us the kind of data that you would want to feed your research ambitions. So do you think that really the big questions that you have may only be answered in maybe 20 years' time even?
Well, it could be. I'm 58 years old now. In fact, I've been engaged heavily within the SKA project for the last almost 20 years.
Gosh.
There's quite a time to go. We hope to start construction in about 2 years, and maybe by the middle of the 2020s we will have a working array. But in order to pose the questions, to take the observations, to analyse the data, to extract the scientific content from that data, that's a significant project in itself. It requires a team of scientists, young students, postdoctoral fellows, early career researchers, and there'll always be senior people on the team. And it's very much a team effort, just as much a team effort to build the telescope as to extract the science from it.
So, and presumably keep the telescope going, maintaining it.
Oh, no, absolutely. That's a major job, a big, require several hundred people to actually make the whole thing work properly.
I think it ran out of space. Hang on. Let me just see.
You can.
Oh, no, we're okay.
You can edit.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. The embarking on these big observational research projects, they can take anywhere from a year minimum up to 10, 15 years before the final results are known. The longer projects tend to be these big surveys where you use telescopes to survey the whole sky for a particular phenomenon or across a particular frequency range. And when you do that with something like the SKA, there are so many things within the data that will emerge that we're not planned for, not proposed for. This is one of the most exciting things about doing astronomy, are those surprises. So a massive survey can provide scientific interest to scientists for decades to come.
And that is decades of engineers working on the project in South Africa, decades of researchers in South Africa right there. I mean, it's phenomenal for the country, but also for science in general. We don't know what the instrument may detect.
No, we don't. I mean, we expect SKA to be operational for at least 50 years. You said we're here at SKA headquarters. You can see in the out of the window behind me a telescope that will be 60 years old next year. So these big telescopes, they're built to last. Their electronics are upgraded constantly, so they're always state of the art. They are built to last. The science projects will change with time. Mm. And we're sitting next to 2,000 pages of the science case for the SKA. But I guarantee you, the big discovery from the SKA probably doesn't appear in those in those 2,000 pages.
Now, what Professor Phil Diamond is pointing towards are two volumes, very, very large volumes of these things called books. And they're called Advancing Astrophysics with the Square Kilometre Array. Quite surprised to find these things called books on your desk, I must say.
Well, the two volumes together weigh nearly 9 kilograms, and it's very good to drop that on the desk of a science minister when they say, "What is it the SKA is going to do, minister?" Bang.
Well, that's what we think it might do, but it will actually be doing science that we can't imagine right
well,
now.
Well, it will undoubtedly do much of the science that we describe in there. If I can just give you an example. Today is the, as we speak, is the 49th anniversary of the discovery of pulsars. These are the rotating remnants of exploding stars, which are throwing out beams of radio radiation, like a lighthouse.
This is Jocelyn Bell.
Jocelyn Bell Burnell discovered this 1967 in Cambridge.
Yeah, in my alma mater.
Oh, okay. She had no idea. The team that she was working with had no idea that they were going to make this discovery. They'd built a radio telescope. They were doing other studies with it. And she just noticed this little scruff of data, this little blip that was occurring on the chart recorder. No digital electronics in those days. On the chart recorder. And that little blip of data translated into the opening of a whole new field of research within astronomy. And in fact, in a very nice coincidence, pulsar astronomy is now one of the two key highest priority key science projects for the SKA.
So, and indeed, that great big dish right behind us spends a lot of its time looking for pulsars and timing pulsars.
Yes, I mean, it's a major field of study for many astronomers around the world.
It's a very, very exciting project and a great privilege to be working on it and to also get an opportunity and some time to talk to you, Phil Diamond, the Director General of the Scleretometer Array. Thank you very much for talking to us on Fine Music Radio and good luck with the project.
Thank you. You're most welcome.
And for those interested in Kirstenbosch Starwalk, that starline number is 088-131-1001, and the first Starwalk of the season will be on December the 9th, meeting just before 7 o'clock at Kirstenbosch Gardens. For now, this is Ketchel Kirkham, wishing us clear skies.